Hello, friends. Welcome to this podcast from Broadway United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Harley Wheeler, and you are in the series Bible Books in 10 Minutes or Less, and today we're looking at the book of Romans. When you get to the book of Romans in the New Testament, you've had the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts, which goes on to say the things that the apostles did, or rather the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus did as he continues to rule from the throne after his resurrection. And then you are somewhat surprised to run completely out of narrative, of storytelling, and you are in the midst of a lot of letters. And the New Testament has a great number of letters from the apostles, sometimes directed to particular churches, sometimes directed to the church at large, and all of them understood to be something that we as believers want to carefully review to look, because and we have both several kinds of strength in reading these letters. In some of them, Paul is dealing with particular problems in the church, and these are problems and questions that arise of ourselves. Sometimes Paul or Peter or James are laying out the foundations of the faith for people, and so we have the letters to help us to interpret the good news of the Gospels. The Gospels speak for themselves. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He rules from the throne. He is victorious over death, and he died upon the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We know that there is forgiveness full and free from the cross, but Paul is talking to the church, talking to believers, sometimes talking about their struggles, sometimes talking about their temptations. And so these are letters. It starts, you know, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And he goes on a great deal to talk, and then finally says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. And one of the Bible study points of this is Paul has not yet arrived in Rome. He has not personally seen any of the churches in Rome. So we have the advantage in the book of Romans of him laying out what he is all about, the key aspects of the Christian faith that he knows people want to hear from him before they ever saw him. He is plainly planning to travel to Rome, and he does eventually get there. We find him there in the book of Acts, although he arrives and he is in prison. Now, the book of Romans is famous for telling us that, you know, we are saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We're not saved by works. You do not get on a program of today I'm going to do 12 good deeds and that'll get me that much closer to heaven. Paul begins by pointing out that all of us stand in need of God's grace. Because chapter 1, beginning at 18, talks about the wrath of God is revealed against heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And he talks about pagan sins, and he talks about all sorts of sexual sins, and also talks about that there was enough in creation to point people toward God, but we instead turn to idolatry, claiming to be wise. It says they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images of birds and animals and reptiles. And chapter 2 says, therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who judges, for when passing judgment on one another, you condemn yourself. We all stand in need of God's grace. And Paul does take up the most serious social divide that you could have found in the Roman Empire. The only thing analogous to it is sometimes that we have in our society is the racial divide that causes our country so much trouble and concern. And he talks to Jews and he talks to Gentiles, definitely saying that neither one should boast over the other. The first key verse I want to give you out of Romans is in chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. It says, For there's no distinction, for all have sinned, says Paul, and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He doesn't recognize that there is a superior position of the Jews in relation to the Messiah. Even though Jesus appeared in Judea, he was born into the Jewish people in answer to the Jewish promises and the Jewish covenant. He says, you know, he in essence says, you knew so much about God, you have even less excuse for following after God. And he deals at length in the book of Romans about the problem that many Jews refuse to recognize Christ as the Messiah. And But his key verse is here, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All need this reconciling work that is done through Jesus on the cross. And that kind of brings us to the next key verse I want to give you. It is in 5:6. He says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 5, 6, 7, and 8. While we were enemies of God, while we were standing in opposition to God, before we had done anything to earn God's favor, instead we're standing in a position of very much deserving his wrath, Christ died for us. He is clear, as Paul puts forward, that Christ dies in our place. He stands as the representative of the whole human race, Gentile and Jew. He is giving the faithfulness that all should have done, should have rendered to the Father just from what they could see through creation. He is also rendering this in place of the Jewish people, the covenant response they should have given to God. Paul goes at some length to talk about Abraham and the covenant God made with him. Because Paul, you see, has gone that so far as to not say that the problem here is that the Jews need to keep Torah and then everything would be great. In fact, if one Jewish statement was, if all of us would keep the Torah, then Messiah would come. He said, no, Messiah has come, and now we can keep God's law. We can keep Torah. We can live as obedient people in harmony with God and his covenant. And he expressly points out that Abraham was declared righteous before God before he had done anything, even the first step in Jewish life, which was called circumcision, and responded to God in that covenant. He believed God, and our righteousness comes by faith through grace. Now, Paul is very aware, first, that many Jews did not believe. He also is quite aware that many people still have not turned from their sins. And also, he is one to point out that, and like in chapter 7, verse 21, he says, when I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. And so he talks, whether he talks as this Christian before he has met the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, or talks as a Christian who still struggles with temptation. He understands that we stand in need of God's grace and help. And thus the last key verse I want to give you is out of chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, because he says, for there is thou therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. This great declaration, it says, you know, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You can look through the Old Testament. You can get a concordance out. You can search all around for, well, where is this law of the Spirit of life? Or where is this law of sin and death? Paul is not talking about a law that Moses laid down, but a law in terms of a going principle, that we stand under the power of sin. We stand broken in our own spirits, dead in our own spirits, and we need made alive in Christ. And when Christ is dwelling us, then there is another law holding us up. If the law of gravity pulls things down, other laws of physics can hold them up, as in terms of tables and buildings and the strength in our bones and legs, we can stand upright. It is speaking of something that is constantly with us and constantly the source of our strength. His great message is the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. That which showed us to be weak, showed us to be a failure before God, showed us to be walking under condemnation, and by our own choice, turning away from him, we have found grace in Jesus Christ, forgiveness that we may now walk with God in a newness of life. The challenge I want to give you out of Romans is that Jesus Christ came to set you free from your sins. Live your life from him, to him, and for him. That is out of one of his benedictions in the letter. To Christ, from Christ, for Christ, all these things pertain to God's glory. So you want to look in the book of Romans. You want to read there, take chapter at a time, and consider the love of God that is displayed in this Christ, who, while we were still enemies, gave his life for us. This has been Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church. I'm glad you are with us for this Bible Books in 10 Minutes or Less podcast. Join us next podcast as we look at 1 Corinthians. And God bless.